listening to KPPP LP FM Radio.
We sing this song today to show solidarity, not just with him, but to show that his incarceration represents the continued struggle of Native people. This was originally what we were going to start with, but here it is.
Hello and welcome. This is Cindy Gomeshamp.
And this is Duke Gomeshamp.
And you're listening to KPPPLPFM. We're broadcasting online through Live 365, and soon you'll be able to find us on your radio dial at FM 88.1, adding local color to your airwaves.
That's right, and the song you just heard was done by a group out of Yale called the Blue Feather Drummers, and it was an honored song to Leonard Peltier at a concert of Indigenous Peoples Day in 2013.
Very cool. And that is the topic of today's program, Indigenous People. And we're talking specifically about some of the things that have been going on, including Native American Heritage Month, which is this November. And then we also are going to be talking about Columbus Day versus Indigenous Peoples Day, which is a hot topic all around the country. And the recent passage by the Fargo City Commission to acknowledge Indigenous Peoples Day.
That's right.
I guess we'll talk about that a little bit more in depth. What actually happened at the Fargo Commission, and what did they actually do? They passed a resolution.
That's right, and it was actually yesterday on October 12th. They had their city commission meeting on the
actual
12th,
day.
The actual day.
Yeah, it was really an interesting discussion locally, and we'll talk a little bit more about how that went down, and also we will talk about illegal immigration, Mexicans, and how they're First Nations people. This is a discussion that needs to be had in conjunction with the discussion of Indigenous people, because we are First Nations people, and you know, whenever I hear people talking about Indigenous Peoples Day or the number of people that are Native to this land, they always talk about the Natives being a population of less than 2%. And that is not including all of the Mexican population, all of the Indigenous people that are First Nations people as well, that are in this country. So that's a different discussion than we have had in the past, and I think that it's time to update the way that we view Mexican Mexicans as part of Indigenous Nations. So, of course, you know, as always, we want to hear what you have to say about this topic.
That's right. You can actually give us a call and leave a message. You can call 701-566-0917. Leave us a message on the voicemail, and we may play it on the air. Just tell us your name and where you're from. You can also tweet us at @media_PPP. Email cindy@kpppfm.com and duke@kpppfm.com. And you can also go to our kpppfm.com website. Go to the podcast. You can actually comment on the podcast. And you can go to Facebook, the People's Press Project.
That's right. And also, I want to make sure to mention that we have the new weekly show in Spanish every Sunday, Sabor Latino, every Sunday at 6 p.m. I've talked a lot about the connections between indigenous heritage of Mexican people on that program. And it's in Spanish, but it's something that I hope that people share and listen to in our community. So Indigenous Peoples Day is kind of something that we've been following. In this country, it has a long history. Native American Heritage Month isn't something that I think is officially recognized. Well, maybe I shouldn't say that. It's been officially recognized by presidents. It isn't something that we celebrate in this country as a whole, all across the country. Would you agree with that? Or
no, we don't. In fact, a lot of people don't know what you're talking about when you talk about Indigenous Peoples Day. And this has been an effort for many, many, many years. And there's been a lot of efforts across the United States to actually get municipalities to create Indigenous Peoples Day and replace Columbus Day. That effort's been going on for years.
And so has the effort to recognize First Nations people here in this country. So, you know, we talked about how it's Native American Heritage Month coming up. Well, you know, that started at the turn of the century as an effort to, you know, recognize the significant contributions of First Nations people. And the person that started to try to really get this instituted was a guy named Red Fox James, who was a Blackfoot Indian. And he went from state to state getting approval to honor Indians. And then on December 14th of 1915, he presented all the endorsements from 24 different state governments to the White House. However, there is no record of such a national day being proclaimed.
Wow.
The first American Indian Day in a state was declared on the second Saturday in May in 1916 by the governor of New York.
Wow.
And several states celebrated the fourth Friday in September. In Illinois, for example, legislators enacted such a day in 1919. And, well, you know, basically, and you can find out more about where I'm getting this from the link that gives you a history about the Native American month, where it explains this. But in 1990, President George H.W. Bush, I'm sorry, approved a joint resolution designating November of 1990 as National American Indian Heritage Month. And then similar proclamations under variants of that name include Native American Heritage Month and National American Indian and Alaskan Native Heritage Month. And these have been issued each year, so they're renewed.
Renewed, okay.
Since 1994.
Wow.
I think that's kind of significant that this is a country that was inhabited by people when settlers came here.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, there is this big disconnect because when people talk about this country, they say, we are a nation of immigrants. Mm-hmm. We've always been a nation of immigrants.
Yeah, I've always felt that very offensive to Indigenous people because every time someone says that, they're talking about white Europeans who actually invaded this land, and they're not acknowledging the roots of the people who have been on this continent for thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of years, which are Indigenous people, First Nations people.
Yeah, it feels like we are erased because when you say we, it includes everyone in this country, and First Nations people were already here.
Exactly.
And then you have all these people that try to argue that, well, nobody really came from here because Native people whose oral histories tell them that they originated here in this continent are being told by modern anthropologists anthropologists that they came over on
the Beringia theory, the ice bridge during the last geological age.
Right, right.
Yeah, we went through that. I have an anthropology degree, and that was one of the prevailing ways to explain how people ended up on this continent. But it's a very simple to complex type of scenario of understanding the past, and there's really not the evidence to support that. But yet they teach it, and people accept it, and they speak about it. In fact, in the Museum of Anthropology in Mexico City, it's one of the first displays they have. They show the Beringia theory, and I thought, what's going on here? Because from my studies and in my experience, it looks like people originated from the center of the continents, which would be Mexico.
Exactly. And, you know, I think that what you just said speaks to a problem in the education system in America, where we have been teaching this story about Columbus as a discoverer.
Yeah, a discoverer, yeah.
What did he discover?
People.
People were already here. They had already been. We weren't discovered. We already existed.
Exactly. And they put the month in November, which is the same month as Thanksgiving. And if you look at indigenous people's writings and accounts of what's happened in the actual first Thanksgivings, it was brutal. We're celebrating a myth. And yet it's on their calendar, and people get time off of work. And so they put American Indian Heritage Month on the same month of a holiday that is actually a lie.
A commemoration of genocide.
Exactly.
And, you know, I like that there has been a movement in this country to change Columbus Day into Indigenous People Day. And I'll give you a little bit of history. In Mexico, for example, October 12th is El Día de la Raza, the day that honors Indigenous people. It always has been. I know this because it's my grandmother's birthday.
Oh.
And every October 12th, we talk about the fact that in Mexico there's actual celebrations to honor Indigenous people and recognize us, ourselves, as First Continent people, First Nations people, that were pushed to the brink of extinction mm-hmm. by the colonizers, the conquistadores, that came to brutally kill, rape, and steal from us.
Exactly, and I don't think we spend enough time in our history courses really explaining the genocide of Indigenous people on these continents in what they call the New World, where within 60 years of the Spanish coming to Mexico, that 23 million people had died. There was only 2 million people left. And when it came to what we call the United States, there were millions of...
Over 100 million.
Over 100 million, and that population was decimated to 5/6 of the entire population in a short amount of years. So those are so many people dying. I mean, the ground is littered with people's bones, and we don't really push that fact with people for us to understand where we came from and where this country came from.
And where our history comes from. In fact, in many states, they're trying to water down and whitewash history and change what people think still about not just Native American genocide, but also enslavement of black people.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that what that is isn't just, oops, we did it again type of an accident. It is a concerted effort to continue to hide the ongoing genocide of our people because it hasn't stopped.
Exactly.
I believe that Indigenous people are rising up and defending their lives just as black people in this country are, because the oppression, the repression, and the death of our people, the use of our people, our enslavement, and our tokenization has never stopped. It has been unabated since the coming of the first settlers
mm-hmm.
to this country.
Exactly.
So in the passage of the Fargo City Commission of Indigenous Peoples Day, there was a lot of controversy locally.
Yeah, and in fact, the Native American Commission had worked many meetings on actually putting together a resolution, and they were coached by city officials that you better lighten the language up. It's a little bit too strong. They say, well, we're telling true history. We're telling the truth about history in this resolution. And they were advised that in order to get it passed, you have to ratchet it down and make it sound nicer. And, I mean, that really goes against what I just said. The true history needs to be told. So if our city officials don't want to hear the true history, and we get something passed that's watered down.
It sounds to me like they don't know what it is.
No, they don't. They weren't taught that, and they're not about to educate themselves either. Although the place during the meeting was filled with over 80 people that came, many of them indigenous people. Many people there were there to explain what they know. And yet the city commissioners, some were right on, but some weren't. And they had to struggle through a 4-1 vote, one person voting against it, and the rest of them saying yay. And the resolution got passed, and people were very happy. And we actually got a copy of the original ordinance, but we also know some of the things that were supposed to be in there that were actually cut.
That's right. And, you know, what does this represent? I mean, it's not like we've changed the federal holiday here. Columbus Day is going to continue to be a federal holiday, and Minnesota and North Dakota do not officially celebrate Columbus Day as a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
So what does a resolution such as this and so many others that have been passed around the country and even locally, like in Minneapolis and St. Paul, what does this really do?
That changes a date on the calendar. I think the city calendar will probably come out next year, and it will say Indigenous People's Day on it instead of Columbus Day.
I question this because nowhere in my understanding of the reading of this resolution did Indigenous Peoples Day replace Columbus Day. And in fact, it is my understanding specifically that is not what took place. A friend of mine that posted about this talked about how, you know, it was the understanding the original intent was to replace it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the goal. But my understanding of what actually occurred was that they simply acknowledged Indigenous Peoples Day. So this is what my friend posted about what it reads. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Fargo City Commission that the city of Fargo shall no longer recognize Columbus Day and shall henceforth proclaim the second Monday of October to be Indigenous Peoples Day. However, the part about removing Columbus,
yeah,
that was not done. The removing of Columbus Day and having Indigenous Peoples Day
replace it, mm-hmm,
that was, to my understanding, removed.
Wow, that makes a lot less clear then. You know, the resolution actually talks about how they also encourage other organizations, stores, businesses, schools, to also adopt Indigenous Peoples Day.
Yes, but see, here's what I heard, and here's what I read, okay? I heard that there was people saying, for example, Dave Pipcorn, who voted no, that this resolution was divisive. I'm not sure what he meant by that, and I don't think that the reporters asked him to expound, but he said he wanted the passage of this resolution to be a positive thing.
Okay.
So I'm going to translate what I think Dave Pipcorn means, mm-hmm, not based on what Dave Pipcorn said alone, but based on the social media commentary of many people out there who looked at this resolution as being divisive. And I couldn't understand what that meant. And this is what they said. They were basically saying, why can't we embrace all of it? I mean, why do we have to get rid of Columbus and embracing what he did and, you know, making it into something negative, and also adopt Indigenous Peoples Day? I mean, we can't honor Indigenous people and honor Columbus too?
Wow. Well, it shows a real lack of education. It's like, let's celebrate Hitler Day. And you know, and people have been educated.
Well, we do. It's called Columbus Day. Because Hitler, he learned how to exterminate people during the Third Reich directly from Frederick Reitzel and his study of the murder of indigenous people,
yeah,
the genocide of indigenous people in this continent.
That's true. That's true.
And he gives direct props. Hitler gives direct props to the U.S. He's like, you guys, you know how to kill people. I got to give you props, mm-hmm, for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Many totalitarian regimes have learned a lot from the United States. There's also in Minnesota that apartheid actually studied the way Minnesota dealt with indigenous people on the native reserves, on the reservations, and they actually copied that,
mm-hmm,
in their enslavement of black people in South Africa. So,
right.
You know, United States.
It, when it comes to enslaving people, raping, stealing, no one does it better.
So, you know, this idea that is divisive is because people don't understand history. You know, I brought up, you know, Hitler Day, and it's like, obviously people would feel offended about that, and replacing that with something different would be a positive move. So this idea
among white people
among
who
white
know
people,
their history
yeah, exactly.
of Germany, and they know the history of Hitler, because
mm-hmm.
we make sure people know about the Jewish Holocaust.
That's right.
We make sure that people know that.
Mm-hmm.
We do not make sure that people understand and know what happened in the Holocaust here in
mm-hmm.
the United States, the American Holocaust, against, which was much greater. It is
yeah.
the largest genocide on the face of the earth that has ever occurred, and it happened right here, folks.
That's right.
And that is why the celebration of any of the key role players in those genocides should not be celebrated
mm-hmm.
by anybody on this continent who values life and human beings.
Exactly.
And opposes tyranny and, you know, all of the aftermath of genocide.
Mm-hmm.
And there were folks that went to the Fargo Native, you know, the commission.
Yeah, the Native American Commission.
And also to the commission of the city.
That's right.
To plead the case on behalf of adopting Indigenous Peoples Day and fully supported the way that they were originally going to pass the resolution.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And one of those was Scott Mathern Jacobson, who he's a Catholic Fargo resident. We happen to know him.
He's part of the Catholic Workers Movement, in fact.
Mm-hmm. And he offered an apology for the church's role in mythologizing Columbus.
Wow, good.
And, you know, there's a lot of people that were upset about some of the Doctrine of Discovery stuff that they wanted to put into this resolution, which was ultimately removed, as well as the Manifest Destiny stuff,
mm-hmm.
which was ultimately removed.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was, that bothers me. They talked about this in an Inform article. We have a couple of them that talk about when they were trying to get the resolution passed and
mm-hmm.
then when they passed it and the reactions to it. You can find that along with this podcast at kpppfm.com. And, well, basically, they talked about how these things really upset, these references upset some of the people, or they thought they would upset the city commissioners, who are mostly a board of white people,
mm-hmm.
Because they were harsh language. Well, genocide is harsh, folks.
It is.
Murder is harsh. Theft is harsh. The things that were done to Native Americans can only be considered atrocities against humanity. Yeah, it's harsh.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you have thin skin doesn't mean you shouldn't recognize reality.
Yeah, it actually speaks too of how people want a holiday to be all nicey-nicey and not really acknowledge something that is terrible. The genocide of indigenous people on this continent is a very important fact. So to honor indigenous people on a day, you have to have the context of what you're honoring them for, that they still exist, and that most of the people were killed, their ancestors were killed, their culture was stopped. And those are things that we need to recognize. So it's a day of mourning and a day of celebration that there are still people here.
Well, one of the people who helped to draft this document originally is Michael Yellowbird. And he was pretty upset at the fact that they gutted the resolution
mm-hmm.
that they passed. And he said in one of these articles, a lot of the really important language has been gutted from this resolution. He said that he thought it was inadequate, and he thinks it's dishonest, and he thinks that it's lacking. He said, "You are seeking to deny this history and therefore allowing this genocide to be forgotten." And that's exactly what we were just talking about.
Exactly. Exactly.
When you try to water something down, I mean, I get it. I'm sure that the whole nice, the Minnesota nice, the North Dakota nice, let's agree to disagree attitude sounds like a fair balance. Hey, you know what? We'll pass a resolution where we don't say we're going to really supersede or get rid of Columbus Day, mm-hmm. replace it with Indigenous Peoples Day and celebrate that instead. You want to celebrate your own holiday? Y'all go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to sit here as the City Commission and say, we agree with the honoring of Indigenous People Day, so long as we don't have to recognize how, America's doctrines of discovery or manifest destiny, which were the basis of this genocide,
mm-hmm.
nor that those were in any way wrong, because in saying they don't want them even included, they're saying that they feel that those things were okay.
Exactly.
That those things would upset people if they heard that they were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Catholics might not like to hear that the doctrine of discovery is not a good reason to murder people.
Yeah, oh,
and that, you know, maybe the people of America might not want to hear that the stuff that they learned in their history class in high school was a way of creating propaganda that would allow a so-called Christian nation to march across the country, clearing the land by murdering and stealing people, raping them and stealing their land.
Exactly.
But that's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me of the school texts in Texas, where they're talking about slavery. And they're talking about slavery, getting workers for America to work in the fields. And they're leaving out that people were taken from their ancestral lands, that they were murdered, they were put on ships, and they died, and they were enslaved people. So they've whitewashed, they've lightened up the language to be more positive about slavery, and they're teaching it to young children so they don't have the context of what slavery is. The Fargo City Commission is doing exactly the same thing when it comes to Indigenous Peoples Day. They want the community to not know the truth.
Right. And here's the thing that bothers me. The level of the atrocities that were committed against Native people in this country have never been discussed. They have never been taught. They have never been adequately discussed. They have never been recognized. And they have never been apologized for.
Mm-hmm.
There has been no move to try to correct them. No move to try to change the way in which Native American people continue to be oppressed, continue to be killed, and pushed to the brink of extinction today. And yet, there's folks like these people right here in our community and on our city commission who would rather maintain the status quo of what the knowledge base is, even though it has been horribly inadequate, and ignore the continued genocide of these people with some token pat on the head, okay, fine, we'll acknowledge you're here.
Exactly.
We'll acknowledge you exist.
And, you know, I hate to minimize the efforts of people who have been trying to put this forth. And we know political organizing. We know community organizing. And it's tough when you have to compromise, you know, many times because you're dealing with a very racist infrastructure. And a lot of times you have to compromise, and what you end up with the end, it helps drive you forward. And people are very positive about it. But no way would I minimize the efforts of the people that put a lot of work into making this resolution happen.
I don't either. But let me tell you something, okay? The Native American Commission, along with the work of Michael Yellowbird and a lot of the people that worked on creating this resolution, didn't want a watered down, tokenized, window dressing effort.
Exactly.
I know that they didn't, and we'll talk about what their position was from the article that was in Native American Country Today later on in the show. However, and I also know that they are proud of the work that they did, that they're proud that the resolution passed, and that even though it's mostly a largely symbolic gesture and has no real teeth, because the folks that opposed it being passed in its original, manifestation.
Draft, you know.
Refused to acknowledge reality.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, this is how things move along. Just because we passed civil rights laws in the 60s didn't mean that we actually changed racism
mm-hmm.
forever. Although most white people in America believe that today, unfortunately.
Right.
But the fact that we can start making inroads, not just here in Fargo, but all over the country, where people are more slowly beginning to acknowledge, but still beginning to be aware around them that, you know, celebrating Columbus Day isn't cool, that Columbus was not cool, that people think of him as a murderer, that this type of support, I guess, or lukewarm support for Indigenous Peoples Day and Indigenous Peoples' rights in this country isn't okay anymore. If you're going to oppose these things, as some of these commissioners did, they're going to sound like ignorant people because they obviously don't understand the history of this country. And maybe that's not their fault. Maybe they went to one of these high schools with some whitewashed education where they learned that Columbus was a hero and they want to hold on to their lie.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps that is what they're operating under. I don't know.
Yeah.
What I do know is that the original intent of what they wanted to do wasn't what they got.
Exactly.
And that even though it was a largely symbolic gesture, they managed to water that down into an even less symbolic gesture.
Mm-hmm.
It was in many ways a slap in the face to Indigenous people, how they handled passage of a resolution that didn't mean anything,
that's
that didn't take anything away from them.
It didn't change anything.
That didn't change anything in their lives except for the fact that somewhere they would be making a declaration as leaders of this country, of this community, that they were denouncing the past actions against Indigenous people, and they couldn't even do that.
Exactly.
And that, to me, is an utter disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel. I don't feel like so many of the folks I saw on social media talking about this, that we can honor Columbus and honor Indigenous people. If you honor the people that murdered my people, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the same holiday in mind.
Exactly.
We can't honor, you can't be the person that is friends with all of those who love my enemies and the people that murdered my ancestors and tell me you're my friend,
mm-hmm.
and tell me that you care about what happens to my people. Because clearly your feelings and the feelings of your ancestors who helped to promote the genocide of my people are more important to you.
Yeah.
Even if your history is wrong, even if your history is a lie, you want to keep it alive and well, along with the muddled, hushed, and almost whitewashed and disappeared history of Native people.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? As much as they wanted to kill us, we're coming back, and we're coming back strong.
Exactly.
Indigenous people are now the majority in this country because Mexican people are Indigenous people.
Mm-hmm.
We are First Nations people also. So people out there can tell themselves that Natives only make up 2% of the population. Y'all are very wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Mexicans are now the majority of those being born in this country. And we know our roots.
Exactly.
We know who our mother is. We are stewards of this earth. We are here to protect the water and the land. We are family people that have thousands and thousands of years old traditions and medicine that are all tied to this area. I'm not talking about Mexico. I'm talking across the borders all the way up the Mississippi,
mm-hmm.
trading along trade routes with our ancestors for thousands of years.
Exactly.
Nobody's going to get rid of us. We're not going anywhere. We are the original people of this continent. Whether or not you pass the resolution, you like the language, or you even know your own history,
mm-hmm.
you can't change that. And something is happening for those of you who are in leadership in these communities. And y'all better wake up,
mm-hmm.
because the communities around you are more and more people of color. And just because that's not reflected in the leadership, that doesn't mean that you're going to continue to be able to get away with ignoring the history and the rights of the people that were originally on this continent.
Exactly.
I mean, what is the point of saying in your resolution that the city of Fargo established the Native American Commission to strengthen the Native American community by promoting understanding, recognition, and respect for cultures. How are you going to do that when you're going to lie about the history?
Exactly.
And remove it?
Mm-hmm.
The Native American Commission is to enrich the community as a whole and support empathy, integrity, humility, good stewardship of resources, fostering fellowship, and familial cohesion. Well, they seem to be doing that. The city of Fargo understands that in order to help close the equity gap, government entities, so they recognize there's a gap in equality between the treatment of these people, indigenous people. Government entities, organizations, and other public institutions should change their policies and practices to better reflect the experiences of indigenous people and uplift our country's indigenous roots, history, and contributions. How are you going to do that when you deny the history, our roots, and our contributions?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
How are you going to do that?
You don't.
You're not doing it if you're doing it in a half-hearted, mealy-mouthed, or whitewashed way. No. You either do it proper or you're doing it a disservice. I have to agree with Michael Yellowbird. I'm disappointed that they removed these completely important parts of the resolution.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's very hard for people that are indigenous to promote truth in this country. Yellowbird said that we are seeking to deny history and we're allowing the genocide to continue. I think it's very hard for people to understand what that means if they don't understand what genocide is. And, you know, the Declaration of Human Rights talks about the rights of people to move, the rights of, you know, the inherent rights of humanity. And I think that we are ignoring all of those. And when you're talking about compromise, and you're giving props to these folks and saying, you need to work in these negotiations, they're tough. I can understand that the work of these people should not be diminished, and I'm not trying to diminish it in any way. I think that the Native American Commission has done an excellent job in trying to promote what is and should be a recognition of the people of this land.
Exactly.
And what I think was disturbing to me was that the Native people who put this forth, who are most affected by it, because again, we've said, this resolution is really not going to change the lives of white people substantially in any way, shape, or form. The only thing it could have done was to acknowledge indigenous people and give them their proper place in our history and in our community. And they failed to do that in an adequate way. And yet, they say, you know, we don't want this to be divisive. We want you to chop this thing up so that it is palatable to the mostly white people of this commission and this community who are going to oppose this. And Tony Gehrig says about the compromise, I had a lot of suggestions, and most of them were incorporated.
I see.
Well, what does that tell me? That the people that were not going to be affected by this in almost any way, shape, or form
got to rewrite it.
Got to gut it just for their own comfort level.
Yeah.
And most of their suggestions were incorporated, while the suggestions of the Native people were chopped up and thrown out. How is that equitable?
It's not.
I don't understand how something that came from the Native American Commission could be dismissed by white people.
Yeah.
Who did they consult with to make this decision to gut the resolution that was put forth by white people? I don't think that they did an adequate job of actually going to experts, because as a white person on this commission, you don't have the expertise to speak to this. And we're going to take a little break. I want you to play audio from a video that we're going to have a link to on the podcast to this program, so that people can listen to Native people talking about immigration, and then specifically illegal immigration, and why that bothers First Nations people so much to be referred to by that term. And then we will have a musical break
by Buffy St. Marie.
Awesome. What's the name of the song?
The song is Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee.
Awesome. And when we come back from this program, For those folks who are just listening in, this is a program on Indigenous people, and you are listening to KPPP LPFM. This is Cindy Gomeshev.
And this is Duke Gomeshev.
And right now you're listening to us broadcasting live on Live 365, but soon you will be able to find us on your radio dial at 88.1 FM, adding local color to your airwaves. And as always, we want to hear what you have to say. Why don't you tell people how they can get a hold of
That's
us
right.
before you take us to our break?
You can get a hold of us a lot of ways. One way is to give us a call at 701-566-0917. Leave a voicemail. Leave us your name, where you live, and we may play it on the air. You can tweet us at media_PPP. Email Cindy at kpppfm.com. Duke at kpppfm.com. You could write comments on the podcast at kpppfm.com. And you can go to Facebook to the People's Press Project.
Thank you.
Personally, I cringe every time I hear the word illegal.
I don't think that people realize that the first illegal immigrants were European settlers.
We're still here and we care about what's going on.
With Indigenous people being left out of the immigration conversation, it makes me feel forgotten.
It almost makes us other people still feel like we are non-existent.
We're going to talk about illegal immigration. We need to go back in the last 350 to 500 years ago, of starting with Plymouth Rock and who had permission to come over to our land.
I even feel uncomfortable saying an immigrant. My ancestors, you know, a long, long time ago didn't have those concepts.
It is very ironic and very frustrating that the people who are imposing their right-wing beliefs and their very, like, staunch, like, his stance on immigration, calling, you know, our families illegal and trying to push these borders upon us, weren't the original people of this land anyway.
We're going to talk about enforcing, you know, stricter regulations around the border and enforcing border patrol. Then what does that mean for those reservations that are split and those tribes that are split by the border?
There are several Native people communities that live along the U.S.-Mexico border, and several of them, their lands are divided by the border, and that's my people too.
We don't think of the people who are south of the border who are coming up, you know, for a better life as Indigenous people.
Just because time has continued to go on and these borders have been created and different policies to hinder some of that movement, it doesn't mean that the people innately are going to stop.
There's such things as sacred sites, as places of worship, and places that are culturally and historically important for people that live along the U.S.-Mexico border.
These U.S.-imposed borders have a real physical effect on our families, on our way of life, on our traditions, on our culture, everything from gathering foods to practicing ceremonies.
I think that what is important for Indigenous voices is that we speak up and that we realize that we're not foreigners on our own land, regardless of what borders are there.
America doesn't belong to anybody. It's just a plot of land that all of us as human people, we're just here to be stewards of the land.
The land is it's our earth, it's our medicine. To us, it's our mother.
That's right. And you know what? I'll tell you something. It's not just along the U.S.-Mexico border, because for Mexicans who are now enclosed by this fake border wall and that are, you know, having all of these immigration policies, harsh immigration policies imposed on us, it makes it very difficult, even as an American citizen, which I am, to travel back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And we do make pilgrimages. I've taken you on a pilgrimage
to visit
the site of Tonantzin,
mm-hmm.
the Cathedral of Tonantzin, our Mother Earth.
Exactly.
And we make promises within our ceremonies and within our worship that we will visit these sacred sites,
mm-hmm.
and go and pay homage and worship. And many of us can't do that. I've known that growing up my whole life, that you would see somebody that had really long hair, or that, you know, had, you know, wore certain clothes or had certain things that they were doing that they did for years because they still hadn't been able to go and do their pilgrimage.
Mm-hmm.
They hadn't been able to go and keep their promises. I mean, and that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Exactly.
The division of families, that continually this continues to attack our traditions, our ceremonies, our ability to stay cohesively connected to our families and our cultures. And those are all the different steps of continuing a genocide
mm-hmm.
against us.
Exactly.
We were just reading an article today where it talked about how in the 1930s, through the massive deportation effort, which included tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of U.S. American citizen land-owning Mexicans
mm-hmm.
that were deported, repatriated to Mexico forcefully and had all of their possessions
stolen.
Taken and stolen.
Mm-hmm.
How is that different from putting Japanese people in internment camps?
It's not at all.
It's just that there is no consideration of the damage done or... And people still don't want to acknowledge this, but Mexico in and of itself is a giant reservation for the United States.
Exactly.
And it's been treated like that. In a recent article written by Rodolfo Acuña, Professor Rodolfo Acuña from CSUN, he said that Mexico is nothing more than a neoliberal satellite state of the United States. It's
wow.
We're a puppet country.
Mm-hmm.
This has been known to the people of Mexico forever, but... It's the United States that ignores this, and they ignore many other historical facts about the people right next door to them, because we are invisible. Indigenous people in this country are largely invisible. When we come back from our musical break, I'm going to have us talk about their point of view from the Indian Country article, Indian Country Today article,
okay.
Titled Truth Telling in America, History Groups Fight for Indigenous Peoples Day.
Well, here's Buffy St. Marie, Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee.
Indian legislation's on the desk of a great congressman. Now, he don't know much about the issue, so he picks up the phone. And he asks advice of a senator out in Indian country. A darling of the energy companies who are ripping off what's left of the reservations. Huh. I learned a safety rule. I don't know who to thank. Don't stand a Yeah.
was Buffy St. Marie, Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee.
Welcome back. That was an awesome song.
Mm-hmm.
Got me choked up.
Yeah.
It was a really strong, beautiful song. For those folks who are just listening in, we're talking about Indigenous Peoples Day, National Native American Heritage Month, and frankly, how a lot of this has been mostly symbolic window dressing that has not truly and fully acknowledged the history, the contribution, and the harms that have been done to Native American people, to Indigenous people on this continent, in this nation, and that continue to harm Native people in this area and in this nation. And we were talking about a Native American Country article that...
Indian Country Today.
Sorry, Indian Country Today
yes.
article.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Which will be available on our website along with this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who are just tuning in, you're listening to KPPPLPFM with Duke and Cindy Gomez-Shemp. And we're broadcasting live online right now on Live 365. Soon you'll be able to find us on your radio dial at 88.1 FM, adding local color to your airwaves.
That's right.
And I said, we talked about, you know, the social media response, the community response, the commission's response to passing a resolution to recognize, approve the Indigenous Peoples Day in Fargo, which did pass right before we went to break. And now I want to talk about how this effort connects to the, you know, the more national effort. In this article, it talks about how the first city that abolished Columbus Day, which, by the way, Fargo did not do. They did not abolish it.
That's right.
Was Berkeley, California, and they did this in 1992.
Wow.
And a lot of other cities and states have followed suit, including Washington, Seattle, Washington, St. Paul, Minneapolis, Grand Rapids, and Duluth, Minnesota, and Traverse City, Michigan.
Wow. Cold Minnesota.
Yeah, and there's a lot of other places that I've heard are moving these position forwards. These initiatives are trying to convince different municipalities to pass Indigenous Peoples Day and abolish Columbus Day.
Exactly.
And for many of these groups, this has been a struggle because they are dealing with aspects of history, as we spoke about earlier, that many people are not willing to acknowledge. Many people never learned that they've been taught myths about, which they believe to be true, which not only belie the reality of the genocide and the harms done to Indigenous people, but which whitewash the history of this country. And in fact, it is really diminishing the devastating effects that colonialism inflicted on the inhabitants that were here in this
mm-hmm.
country, who were not discovered.
Yeah.
That's not what Columbus did. He invaded. He did not discover.
Exactly.
Marilyn Warren, a Pawnee Santa Ana Pueblo Indian and a member of the Fargo Native American Commission, said, "There is a reluctance on the part of some people to accept the truth about Columbus and the doctrine of discovery and the brutal acts that he committed." Yeah. That's irrefutable. It seems very clear.
Yeah, definitely.
That the reluctance is not because they don't want to acknowledge Indigenous Peoples Day. They were willing to pass that resolution. The problem is they don't want to acknowledge that the doctrine of discovery was bad,
mm-hmm.
or that Columbus did anything that was really all that terrible.
Yeah.
That's what they don't want to acknowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Indigenous people being here, having a day, sure, that's great. We'll do that. But we also want to make sure that we continue to think of Columbus as an upstanding member of society, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Why is it so hard to imagine that what Columbus did was horrible and there was no excuse for it?
Well, white people have trouble taking responsibility, you know, and being part of something and acknowledging it. But that's a first step. You actually have to acknowledge the truth and work from there.
very difficult for me to understand how just acknowledging the truth could be so difficult. Clinton Alexander, who is an enrolled member of the White Earth Ojibwe Nation and chair of the Fargo Commission, said, "We looked at some existing resolutions and we decided we wanted to further explain some of the points to use our resolution as an educational document." He said that the commission did not want a resolution that was merely a politically correct statement. So the first resolution talked about great acts of genocide, sex trafficking, mass rape, mass murder. They really spelled out all of these things using references to 16th century Dominican friar and Spanish historian Bartolomé de las Casas and his works. We've read about all of that in that book on the Holocaust.
Yes.
Amazing American stuff. Great American Holocaust.
Yep.
And Michael Yellowbird, who I mentioned before the break, he is from the Three Affiliated Tribes, director of Tribal and Indigenous People Studies, and a professor of sociology and anthropology at the University of North Dakota. He was one of the people that helped to draft this original document, which was gutted.
Okay.
Hence his response in the forum. He was so angry. Of course, they failed to tell us who he is, to tell us what he does and his credentials in those forum articles, or at least I missed it.
Yeah, it wasn't there.
He urged the commission to read some of the transcripts of Bartolomé de las Casas and find out what happened to those children, the babies, the women, the little girls who were sold into sexual slavery. Boys were also sold into slavery, too, by the way. You could take any indigenous person and sell them into slavery if you were a white person in this country. They were just taken, abducted, kidnapped, gang raped. They were killed, and then they would go out and get more. That's got to mean something. That's got to be in this story.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Fargo city officials were critical of the first version of the resolution, saying that they felt the language was harsh and accusatory. It's called history.
It's called history.
What an ignorant statement.
Yep.
To say that history is accusatory and harsh.
Mm-hmm.
Would they say that to Hitler?
No, they would not.
Oh, but that's accusatory of Hitler. Would they say that about Hitler?
No, we got to be fair. We got to let Hitler have his day, too.
If somebody called Hitler a monster, would they be like, oh, well, you know, it's too harsh?
Got to keep it positive.
I don't think so. I think that this is because it's people that are idolized. And why is it that Americans idolize this guy from Spain?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all aren't even related to him.
No.
What is it? Do you guys love Spaniards now? Because I'm part Spanish, too. I got some Spanish blood in me.
That's right.
Are you guys going to treat Mexicans better because we got some Spanish raped into us?
No.
I doubt it, because this is all about European, holding up European values, and it's about the manifest destiny thing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, Alexander said in this article in
Indian Country Today.
I keep messing that up. That he said, "We worked with them, revised the language, and made it more of a consensus draft. We lost a couple of our paragraphs that we felt really needed to be in there, but for myself, I'm willing to make the compromise because it means that we can make this a focus for education over the next year and work toward a community that respects all people." And as I said earlier, I don't wish to diminish the work of these fine people, and I think that they did a great job in getting the resolution passed.
That's right.
It's a small step to getting the consensus that's needed to move away from this, and I think in leadership, that is one of the things you do. And what the people did in the Native Commission, the Fargo Native American Commission, was to make that leadership call and say, we don't want this in our community anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We're making a stand against this in our community. And there are people, despite those in the commission, the Fargo City Commission, and in the city of Fargo, who were against this resolution passing in its original form, and even those who were against it passing in the form that it later passed in, there's plenty of other people who stand with the Fargo Native American Commission.
Exactly.
And that wanted to see this passed and that are very proud of the work that you did and that stand for changing, continuing that change and continuing the education that needs to happen. So congratulations to all the people that went out there and stood up for it and fought to get it passed.
Exactly.
The federal government has proclaimed November Native American Heritage Month. And a number of cities are celebrating the last Friday in September as Native American Day. Other places have renamed Columbus Day using spectrum, such as Cultural Diversity Day, which is what Moorhead did.
Yeah, that's right.
They did that a long time ago, I think in the 90s, didn't they?
They did, yes.
And there are 16 states that don't even recognize Columbus Day as a holiday. North Dakota and Minnesota don't. So that's why I told you it was a resolution that was largely symbolic, because it's not as if we already celebrate it here anyhow. Melanie Yazzie, who's a DNA and co-founder of the Red Nation, she's one of the people who worked to convince the city of Albuquerque to change the name of Columbus Day. She said, one of the reasons this is important, because a lot of people talk about whether or not it's important to get a recognition day, like a Native American Recognition Day or Native American People Day, Indigenous Peoples Day, like they passed in Fargo.
Yeah.
Does it have to supersede Columbus Day? Does we have to take Columbus Day out? Why does it have to be on Columbus Day? Can it be a different day and we just keep Columbus Day? You know, that's the discussion. And this Melanie Yazzie, she explains why. It's important because the second Monday in October is officially recognized nationally and even internationally as Columbus Day. As countless people have pointed out over the past decades of trying to abolish Columbus Day, it is a holiday created to celebrate the genocide of Native people, Indigenous people. This is experienced by Native people as a violent event that has not ended. We still live under a sort of colonialism here, at least in the United States. And it is true. We are still largely a colonized people, a colonized nation. And so the reason why it's important is that we are actually recognizing that what happened, that the doctrine of manifest destiny, that the doctrine of discovery, were wrong, that what Columbus did wasn't simply unwelcome. It was a crime against humanity. It was genocide. It was theft. It was rape. It was mass murder. Another one of the, Crystal Gonzalez, another one of the members of the Fargo Native American Commission. She's also a member of the Three Affiliated Tribes and a descendant of the Kiowa people of Oklahoma. She said that we need to be sympathetic to people of our country, Native and non-Native alike, because they aren't taught an accurate history of colonialism.
That's true.
And it's not their fault. And you can't fault people for not knowing what they haven't been taught.
Well, wake up and start learning then.
Yeah, I mean, here's the problem I have. I agree with Crystal. But what happens when you tell the Fargo City Commission what the history is, and they just stick their fingers in their ears and go, la, 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 I am not listening to you. I do not want to learn the history of my country.
I think
that sounds too harsh. I don't like it. It makes me feel uncomfortable. What do you do? How do we move forward in this conversation when there are still people in this country who refuse to learn our history? I don't think it's just a matter of feeling sorry for those who are ignorant of the history's country. Because you know what, folks? Indigenous people who are ignorant of this history, of this country's laws, do not get a pass.
Exactly.
And the people of this nation, the people of Indigenous nations, have been violently repressed. During the AIM movement, we started off this podcast with a discussion of Leonard Peltier.
Exactly.
And we had our musical break about Wounded Knee.
Mm-hmm.
Those are wounds that continue to hurt and haunt Indigenous nations in the United States. The fight for sacred land in the United States is still an issue. The fight for open borders and sovereign nations is still a fight for Native people across Canada's border, across Mexico's border. And the Native nations of this country and of the nations around us are uniting together to seek the respect for our history, our traditions, our culture, to continue to try to stave off the continuing genocide, to fight against colonialism, and to educate our people in our traditions without having other people try to stop us. And we will continue to do that. I hope that folks seriously think about the criticism that I have of the way that this resolution was passed. I'm not trying to diminish in any way the work of the Native American Commission. I applaud the passing of the resolution by the City Commission of Fargo as well. I think we just can't be lukewarm anymore about these discussions, not about our history, not about the problems that we have in this country, because as long as we continue to come up with band-aid solutions for decades and centuries-long problems, we're not going to fix anything. And I believe that lukewarm solutions lead to lukewarm enactment and implementation of those solutions.
Exactly.
And we don't have time, Native people don't have time anymore.
No.
Police continue to kill Native people in this country at a greater rate, Indigenous people in this country at a greater rate than any others.
Mm-hmm.
So this continues to be a conversation that we need to have, and it's not just about passing a Native American Recognition Day or a month. It's about recognizing what's happening to Native people right here in North Dakota,
mm-hmm.
right here in Minnesota, in South Dakota. What are our oil companies? What are what's fracking doing?
Exactly.
What is the slave trade
yeah.
doing?
Mm-hmm.
What is the sex trafficking doing? What is the disappearance of Indigenous women and the violence against women
mm-hmm.
in Native nations still doing? And so many more things. The taking of Native people's resources. Those all have to be part of this discussion, too. It can't just be about a discussion of the past, of the history of the genocide and colonialism, or about the problems that we would like to forget about happened in the past. It's an ongoing problem, and
mm-hmm.
they're connected.
Definitely.
And we need to be aware of those things.
Yes, we do.
And with that, I'm going to close out today's show. Of course, we always want to hear what folks have to say. If you just tuned in, you've been listening to Cindy and Duke Gomez-Shemp. You're listening to KPPP LPFM. We've been broadcasting online through Live 365, and soon you'll be able to find us at 88.1 FM, adding local color to your airwaves.
That's right, and we're going to take you out with a song by Lucy Idleout. She's actually an Indigenous person from Canada, and if you study the actual conquest in Canada, it's very similar to Mexico and the United States. They took the elders, and they basically put them in reserves, and they gave them numbers so they could have some commodities, some food to eat. And the song is called E5770, My Mother's Name, by Lucy Idleout.
Neil,